It's alive.
Oh, in the name of God.
Now
I know what it feels like to be God.
Stu. Hello.
We're back.
Steve, how you doing?
It's alive.
We have returned. We have dug ourselves out of the gaming ground.
Oh, jeezy peeps. It's been a while.
The pit of podcasts.
Yeah.
It has been, hasn't it?
I mean, do you know what? I don't actually, let me flick back. I've got a book here. I know we don't seem very organized, but we sometimes are quite organized. Oh, no, I've just written the episode number and not the date, which is stupid.
You've just written not organized and then proven it.
Yeah. In fact, I've gone back to look at it and it says episode 8 and we've done well more than 8 episodes. So fuck knows what I'm talking about.
Well, you did the UK Games Expo.
I did that. Yeah, I did that one on my own because you made me.
I did. I'm like that. I've been broken. That's my excuse.
You have been broken. And how are you feeling?
Broken.
Sore back, sore tooth.
Yep. So dentist Monday, chiropractor Tuesday. Still waiting for got to go back in for an operation. I'm going to be more machine than man by the time he finished. Which will be all right. So I can live on Kestrel then.
Not instead of scales.
You got giant skills?
No, I haven't. Do you know, I went in the shop. I went and got my Diet Pepsi, my big bottle of Diet Pepsi, and I got, and they had no giant scales. So I had to go for 2 small bags of normal scales.
Well, seriously, fuck Brexit and fuck COVID because you've run out of giant skills. That's like, forget everything else.
Fuck this bar. That's what I say. But which incidentally was what a guy did the other day. I walked into the spa, right? And it was really busy. And I'm there in my mask. Everyone's got their masks on. And I went past one of the aisles. It's only a tiny shop, corner shop. And he's kneeling down and he is shoving bags of sweets into his rucksack. And I thought, what's he doing? I wasn't really paying attention. So I walked in the next aisle, got my stuff, started queuing up. And I came to that aisle and just looked up. And he'd finished shoving them in his rucksack and he was shoving them into his coat. And I said to the woman, that guy's stealing loads of stuff. And she immediately came out, you know, I mean, she must have been in her 60s. And I thought, what's she going to do? This guy had tattoos on his face. I wasn't going to fight him. He just got up and he went, oh, nothing, fucking nothing. And just walked out. But I mean, I'll tell you what, he must have been doing some serious dealing on the corner because he looked like the Michelin man.
Really? Did he have Chew-Its and everything?
He had everything. He had bonbons, all sorts.
Spangles.
And, in fact, all the fucking giant Skittles, by the looks of things, when I went back in there today. Yeah. Anyway.
He's on the corners now doing a 10p mix-up.
I suspect that he died of, what's the sugar thing? Diabetes.
Diabetes.
Can you die?
Oh, it was Diabetes Dave. Oh, no, hold on. That's different. We've got multiple Daves in this podcast, just to explain.
He's like a crack whore, this guy, though. But he's just on the corner dishing out chewy sweet.
Did he have any teeth?
I don't know. I wasn't really looking. I was a bit worried. He didn't do that thing where he went, you fucking get in my way and you fucking harder you have. If he'd done that, I might have seen if he had teeth, but I just sort of looked the other way.
Did you not just say, this is DCI Steve Arnott here?
I feel a bit ashamed.
It's your phone.
I feel a bit ashamed, particularly the way that the woman who was in her 60s leapt over the counter like Starsky used to do at the start of Starsky and Hutch. When he went over his car bonnet.
Did she have the cardigan on though?
Sure. Yeah, she had. She's one of those. Where am I, love? Where am I, love? I love my love. Not Bruce Forsyth.
Well.
Anyway. Oh my God. It's been a while. We're actually talking shit already.
Yeah. Well, isn't that sort of the point of this?
It is the point of this. So.
But we have actually played together.
Yeah.
And we have played some games together and we played games independently. That is just like madness.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
So are we talking about Tuesday?
Oh, we can do. I don't really know what order we're going to do this in today. I always thought we could just do, what have you been playing recently? And then we could do a bit of news and then go from there. What do you think?
Yeah, Scattergun. I don't really mind. Well, shall we start on Tuesday since we've mentioned it now? And people are probably on tenterhooks, on the edge of their seats, wondering what could have possibly happened on a Tuesday night.
What could it have been? What could it have been? Well, it was an adventure into deepest. Hold on. An adventure into deepest, darkest space.
You know I can do that post, don't you?
Can you? I'm doing what do they call it? In-camera effects.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. There we go. Well, we played rather excellent Those Dark Places by Jonathan Hicks, a role-playing game.
Who appeared on the last podcast?
He did. He did. He was very kind enough to come and speak to us. Well, bribed him with a flapjack, to be fair. I mean, who wouldn't come and speak to us for a flapjack?
Indeed. So yeah, we did. It didn't really start off well, did it?
Well, not for me.
No.
My hour and a half or whatever it was to get there on about a half hour journey.
Yeah, yeah, bloody motorways, eh?
Yeah, but I found a way to mug off all the drivers on that roundabout now, so it's all right.
Well, for those of you who don't know, and I know he listens, one of our number has a tradition of being late for things, mostly.
Normally the shower.
And he wasn't the last one there, which was amazing.
He was not. But I, you know, we spoke to Jonathan about the game, and he was saying about that you can get the game set up and played from character roll up and everything really, really quickly, right?
Yep.
And I thought that really was proven by Tuesday. So obviously I'd read the adventure we were going to play, and for anyone who gets the book, and if you haven't get the book. Okay, it's worth picking up. It's on Osprey Games. I'm pretty sure it's on Drive-Thru RPG as well, but you can get it in hardback. You can get it as a PDF. It's on sale at the Big A, but what isn't? But, you know, try and support your local game shop. Try and get it there. He was exactly right. So although I'd read the book, I basically briefed you guys within, well, really just a couple of minutes. I printed out some character sheets. We fleshed out some characters and we were in the game pretty quick, weren't we?
And do you know what? Looking round the room, because I'm not, you know, I haven't been to, I've never been to one of these role-playing nights. And that night just happens to be in Dice in Portsmouth, the role-playing night, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And, you know, you had one of those, a shield, not a shield, it's not a fucking shield, is it? What is it?
It's like a DM screen.
Yeah, a screen. Yeah, right, yeah. Okay, it wasn't a shield. That just sounds nope.
Just to fend you off.
Yeah. So although you did have a screen, there wasn't an awful lot behind it. We had a bit of paper and a pen and a D6. And then you looked at some of the other tables. There was graph paper. There was 3D buildings. The one DM looked like he had a whole library's worth of books, pens. And he kept standing up and he was like a town crier doing stuff. It was unbelievable. But it looked like everybody was having fun. And then there was another table where there was a DM and he just got up. And once every so often, he just walked around everybody who was at the table. And he threw a dice and I've got no idea what he was doing in front of each person, but I thought some of them looked happy he was doing it and some of them didn't look so happy. So I guess that something happened to their characters every time he did it, but he looked quite happy.
I didn't see anyone flip a table, so I assume
nobody
it all
flipped
worked
the
out.
Table. No, you're right.
But no, you're right. I mean, the thing that, so the game itself, and I think we've talked about it before, is it's kind of really simple mechanic of the fact that you've got a D6 and you're generally trying to roll over a target number, and you get certain bonuses if you've got a particular skill in that. So you had like professions, didn't you? So I think you were security and, were you security and medic?
Oh God.
Something like that, wasn't it? Was it, you were definitely security. You
I
didn't
was
want to
security,
let them loose
that's
with
right,
the guns.
Because no, I wouldn't let them have the guns. They were going like, oh, what is that noise? Just get the guns out. Break the guns out.
Let's just kill them. Oh, hold on.
And what was your words? You know what happens when you fire a gun in a spaceship?
Yeah.
But they don't, nobody
it's
cares.
All alien 4, whatever it was, and it gets sucked through the window.
Had to placate them with tasers. Tasers. You can have a taser.
Yeah.
But only if you're careful.
Exactly. But I mean, to me, it's interesting that you draw like the comparison between the two games, because I did that on a Tuesday, which is the first ever game I've run face-to-face. And what was really nice is the fact that there was very little having to kind of pour over the book to kind of work on rulings and all the rest of it. I'd printed out a few maps that I just sort of chucked down in front of you. I'd made some random tables myself that I could just roll against a couple of extra things just to add a bit of, well, basically a bit of flavor if something came up rather than just sort of, you know, totally being, you know, on my wits. I thought I'd just pick a few sort of random things. So it's, at one point you found a suit from a spaceship, and that was like a completely random set of suits that I'd picked out of different films of the sort of the genre of the game sort of relates to. So, you know, things like, what was it, Black Hole, Event Horizon, Outland, Blade Runner, Alien, that kind of stuff. And to me, what I really, and I guess, I, you know, it was the first game we'd run face-to-face as well. So maybe that adds up to it. But it was just literally the four of us sitting there working through the story together and just seeing the decisions you guys try to make between yourselves. And then, you know, you weren't kind of, it felt to me like you weren't tied down by some of the mechanics or the die rolls. Because I think it was so straightforward.
From my point of view, and this is maybe, I mean, it's maybe just me, but I think what I struggle with in any kind of role-playing game is that a lot of it is sometimes, or it appears to me to sometimes be, you walk around, you meet a monster, you try and kill it, you fail, you take some damage, you try and kill it, and repeat and repeat and repeat, until it's dead, and then you wander on. Whereas with this, you know, one of your opening statements was, you know, you're not going to meet an alien around every corner, which makes it more interesting, I think, because what you're doing is you're finding out about the place that you are. And it's to me, it's like a murder mystery, although, you know, I have no idea if anybody's been murdered. Nobody knows if anybody's been murdered. Taggart. and it's, I think that's more interesting than just, like you say, bash, rinse and repeat.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it's because I played Dungeons and Dragons this week as well, right? And I did that face to face for the first time with Waterdeep Removals from the Portsmouth Guild of Role Players. And it's really interesting because there, you know, we're deep in a story there. The Curse of Strahd, which anyone who knows D&D will be well familiar with that. And what was really interesting as well, because I was thinking about things like the number of die rolls and the thing that happened. And then that Wednesday night session, and on the Tuesday night session, we probably made about the same number of die rolls across both sessions. Yet you've got Dungeons and Dragons, which is like book after book after book after book, because it's incredibly deep and broad, the lore of everything. And yet we were there working off one book and a couple of bits of paper. Yep. And I thought to myself, it was really interesting for me, the contrast, if you like, of the, I suppose, the buy-in needed to do those dark places as opposed to Dungeons and Dragons, because those dark places, really quick, up and running. You know, we all kind of knew exactly the tone of the game, and it all down out of one book. Dungeons and Dragons does the same thing with a bit of added complexity, but with the latest version of Dungeons and Dragons, very much relies on that narrative style of play rather than lots of crunchy die rolls and all the rest of it. And it really struck me how, you know, obviously very different games, but quite similar experiences in terms of the number of rolls and the amount of combat we did or didn't do. Because I don't think we did any combat on our D&D Wednesday either. And I thought to myself, it's really interesting that games are going that way rather than that, as you say, walk, fight, rinse, repeat, walk, fight, rinse, repeat, pick up loot, do something new with it, level up, fight bigger people, rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it was cool. I had really good fun running it.
So did you, so on the Wednesday night, did you have pre-match nerves? Because you know, obviously on the Tuesday, it was the first time we'd play face-to-face, but we all know each other.
Yeah.
And you said that the guys that you were playing with in this thing, did you know any of them?
No.
Right. So not a single person.
No.
So how did you recognize them when you went into the pub? Chance for a joke. Come on.
Well, we all wore pink hot pants.
Yay!
So, no, it's, you know, it's funny. We've been playing for probably most of lockdown. So you're kind of talking about, you know, 18 months or so we've been playing. So obviously I knew people's voices. And to be fair, we'd gone on camera a couple of times messing around being silly. I'd never met anybody before.
Yeah.
And if the, yeah.
Yeah, on camera being silly, were you?
Yeah, you know, that's just what the kids get up to these days. What was really interesting is we immediately almost went just straight into playing the game. you know, and it was kind of like, it was, because I didn't know anybody. And I would say, I still don't really know anybody. You know, I'd know people to say hello to and see their face, but you know, we immediately went straight back into the rhythm of playing the game.
So you don't stick around afterwards and have a pre beer.
No, we had a little chat and what have you, and just kind of a, you know, on the down times, just a little bit of a chat. But, you know, I just thought it was really interesting that the game was just, the game is still the thing that kind of, we were, that like brought us all together, and we had a bit of a chat, and it was really great. Good fun to kind of sit and play the game with people.
Yeah.
And what was really interesting is the gameplay. It's just, I can't get past how similar the game played out. We had a sheet of paper in the middle of the table, and similar to the way you guys are doing on Tuesday. You had Martin running a game who did similar to me behind the screen, and just kind of like, but it was very narrative, very little combat, a lot of exploration and finding out things and sort of, you know, almost the tensions between the characters. And yeah, two really great nights.
So, good.
There we go. So go buy those Dark Places.
And we're meeting again in a couple of weeks, aren't we?
We are. Because we didn't quite finish. Because we would have finished if I'd got there on time.
Yeah, but would we have finished? Because, you know, every experience that we've had doing these over Skype, and you've said at the beginning of every single one, after we played for a couple of weeks, you've gone, you'll definitely finish it this week. And yeah, we never finish it because we make rubbish choices and we roll rubbish dice.
To be fair, well, that's not to be fair at all. Yeah, there was one game that we played on Mothership, which was literally two sides of A4, and you got nearly 3 months out of that. So. Yeah.
So just ridiculous. I think sometimes we're in those situations, you tend to overthink it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But no, it was good. I mean, the one thing I struggled with a little bit was it's bloody noisy in there.
It was, wasn't it?
Really noisy. You know, you got a sort of, I don't know what it is about the youth of today, but they all shout.
They do. I mean, there was either shit was going good or shit was going bad, because there was a few almighty roars of some of the tables.
Yes.
So, which yeah. I, you know, I suppose for me, I thought that was kind of fun. You know, I quite like that, but it was quite difficult. Let's be fair, we were four old fuckers sitting around a table. We could hear each other, could we?
And we got, there was table service as well. So the guy just came around every certain now and again and said, "You want another drink?" Which is probably fatal, because you just go, you've got a third of it left and you think, yeah, go on, I might as well. Yeah. And I've still got, because I didn't see him when I scanned, when I did my chip and pin thing, I still haven't got, I haven't even looked at my bank to see how much it actually cost me.
You paid for everybody.
I think I probably must have.
Yeah.
I'm actually just calling up my bank now to see exactly what it says. I've got no idea what it cost.
But I should give Dice a bit of a, you know, Dice, great little place to go to in Portsmouth if you get the opportunity to go. But if you want to play role-playing games there and you run the game, you also do not pay the table fee.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to pay the £4 charge to be at the table, because if you go on a Tuesday, I think it's only on Tuesdays it happens, you will get that. If you run the game, you get your seat at the table for free.
Yep.
Which is cool, isn't it?
It is very cool. But I can tell you, looking at my bank now, I won't be, you know me, I drink pints of lime and soda, right? Pints of lime and soda. And he said, well, we haven't got soda on tap. He says, it'll be two bottles. So that was two bottles for every pint. So it cost me 19 quid.
Wowzers.
Fucking 19 quid. And I didn't even get drunk.
You definitely paid for everybody.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, there you go. That's not to criticize them, really. That's my own fault. I mean, you know, table service, it was good. And it was the perfect length of time if we'd gotten there on time.
Yeah, if I'd gotten there on time.
Yeah, but that wasn't your fault, was it? That was the people who decided that building smart motorways was a good idea.
Yeah, they haven't got smart roundabouts to go the smart motorways, it turns out. So.
No, anyway.
Anyway, so anywho, what have you been playing lately?
What have I been playing? Let's think about the stuff. So I went to London the other week, you know that. My screen's just gone dark. Hold on.
I've got something to tell you about that in a minute. Not your screen.
Right, we're back in. So I went to, well, why don't you tell me now while you remember? Because I'm going to tell you about London anyway. So.
Right. So you went to Leisure Games, right?
It's like spoiling Christmas. Yeah, I went to Leisure Games. Yeah.
Sorry.
Go on then.
No, all it
spoiled
is.
Spoil the fucking story.
Sorry.
Go on then.
Sorry.
Yep.
Well, I've bought from Leisure Games, right? I've bought a few bits from them, right? And always a really good service. So, you know, look them up. They've always got a sale on, particularly if you want some role-playing stuff. But I found an old copy of White Dwarf from about 1986 or something like that.
Right.
And lo and behold, there's adverts of Leisure Games in there. And I thought to myself, isn't that fantastic that through everything that's gone on and with the, you know, and now hopefully they're riding on a bit of a crest of the wave of the revival in gaming. Isn't that great that a company has lasted all that time?
Yeah.
That's
what,
it.
So what date was the magazine then?
Oh, hold on. You're going to...
See, you're talking as if it, I mean, you know, that White Dwarf could have just started in...
No, do you know, I know exactly which one it is. I'm just a bit of Google searching. That's always good on
1966.
Podcast. Right, here we go. It's, no, Rogue, it was Rogue Trooper, the board game, right, is the game I've got. It's an old Games Workshop game. And it came with, you could get an expansion for it for some extra cards if you bought a particular version, particular copy of White Dwarf magazine. The expansion is called We Got a Traitor to Find, 1987, and it is from White Dwarf. God, what number is that? Number White Dwarf number 90, June 1987. Bought for me by my good friend Matt.
And Leisure Games are mentioned in there.
They are. They've got an advert in there. So I was like, that's so cool. 1987.
Has it got... Oh, right. Okay. And it's the same place. Same ones. Don't know.
Yeah.
Where did I say it was? Finchley.
Mm.
Yeah. Finchley Central. That's right. Yeah. So I went up there to see Hamilton, which was bloody marvellous. And then the next day... I went to Camden Market because there's a game shop in Camden Market.
Okay.
It's the tiniest thing. It's like in a triangle shape. You can get, I don't know, with the person that runs it sitting in there, you can probably get three people in there maybe.
Yeah.
And it's packed high with games. And I went up on the Wednesday and went to Camden Market on the Thursday and... it's only open on Friday and Saturday, so that was good.
Oh. What's the name of the shop?
The shop that was shut.
The Frysat shop.
The Frysat shop, yes. Or on that day, it was the You Fuckers shop.
You can buy anything you want here, as long as it's a copy of Trionomos and Toblerones.
Yep. It is, honestly, it's just tiny. And I was thinking, it's probably not the best shop to go into during... just coming out of a pandemic, but I didn't have to worry about it and make decisions anyway because there was nobody there.
Well, so maybe next time.
Having done that, having wandered around Camden anyway and around the market because it's great there, and then jumped on the tube and went to Finchley Central to Leisure Games, and it's a magic, massive shop.
Yeah.
I left Maria. She said, I'll just go and have a wander around, I'll do charity shops. It's got like, it looks like Finchley is just a high street, and it is the longest high street you've ever seen in the world.
Oh, really?
It's just, you come off out of the train station and hang a right, and it's just a long road that just goes on and on and on. It's got hundreds and hundreds of shops and charity shops and shit. So she went away and done her stuff, did her stuff and bought herself a notebook and sat in Costa writing things. I don't know, stuff, important things, not fripperies like gaming. So I was wandering around Leisure Games for about an hour, maybe. And I sent you a picture, picture of my plastic bag full of stuff. So I treated myself to the crew, the card game, which... I had the original one and they've just brought out the new Mission Deep Sea. I haven't had a chance to play it yet because you can't play it on your own. It's not a solo game. The Fountain of Youth, which was the expansion to...
Lost Expedition.
Lost Expedition, which is really good. Fox in the Forest. Just bought it on spec. Never played it. Never just seen lots of good things said about it. Railroad Inc., which I had a wee solo game of, which is good. I got the yellow version.
Oh, that's Railroad Inc. I can't say it. Railroad Inc. Challenge.
Challenge, yes.
Yeah. I got the original red one.
Ah, right, okay. I had a wee game of that just myself just to see what it was like. It's good. I mean, what I didn't realise was that it's wiped clean board inside.
It's good, isn't it?
Which is brilliant. Yeah, it saves you having to do all that lamenting.
Yes.
about running out of paper.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was my shopping expedition to London. Did I? Oh, and 19 Arcing as well, because I sold my copy of... Oh my God, I've got Alzheimer's.
What's the name of it? I know the game you mean, but I can't think of the name of it.
It's it's Discworld, Ankh-Morpork.
Ankh-Morpork, yeah, that's it.
So I'd sold that a long time ago and I thought, shall I get that? Because I mean, it is essentially the same game. And I think we saw it being played at Games Expo, didn't we?
We did.
On one table, along with that game that you really liked, The Look Of, which I can't remember, the sort of, it's the Norse one.
The Brett Wilder.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna say a little something about that in a minute.
Oh, are you? Well, why don't you say something about it now? Because that was I'm going to break it all down. That was my London trip. Apart from on the Friday, Thursday night, I went on a Jack the Ripper walk, which was interesting, because obviously I have got letters from Whitechapel, and I love it as a game. So I thought, let's go on a walk. And the bloke who did it, so we just met outside the Tower Hill tube station, paid the money. There was about, I don't know, 16 of us maybe, I think. And the guy was brilliant, really good, really informative. But unfortunately, the places you go to are all new. You know, they've all been knocked down and they're all high rise or shiny buildings or whatever. Apart from one little bit of it, the Ten Bells, which is the pub that featured in the Johnny Depp film, whatever it's called, and was all part of it.
From Hell.
From Hell, yeah. But so we ended at the Ten Bells. But it was really interesting, you know.
Do you like that kind of stuff, like Jack the Ripper then?
Oh, I love it. Because on the Friday morning, we went to the Jack the Ripper Museum.
Oh, okay.
Which was just a house, which is like four stories. Or five stories, and you know, one story is has been turned into what the police station looked like. One is one of the bedrooms, and then in the basement, it says that's the last one you go to, and it says, you know, if you don't want to go down here, don't go down here, because it's got the photographs of the mortuary pictures and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But so it was good, you know. I mean, it was only 10 quid. And
that sounds excellent.
Yeah, it was only 10 quid and you know, we must have been in there for about an hour. So
have you ever read it's Bruce Robinson, who I think wrote With Nail and I? They all love Jack.
Funnily enough, Maria bought it when we were there in the museum in the shop afterwards.
Oh, really?
And she's in the middle of it at the moment. I mean, it's massive. It's about 700 pages.
It is. It's really good.
He's such a good writer.
Yeah. Yeah. I read it a while ago. I think it's excellent.
And I mean, he is acerbic about Victorian society.
Yes.
Know, and the hierarchy and the government and the landed gentry.
Yeah. I mean, imagine having to live in times like that, hey, where you, there's all that privilege of the powerful and the rich, and we're not paying any attention to those who need us most. I mean, you know, imagine living in a time like that, or with a government that did stuff like that.
Just think about it.
Oh, it'd be terrible, wouldn't it?
It would be fucking terrible.
I mean, particularly when he does the bit about when the you know, they cut the universal credit for people for literally no good reason.
Yep.
That's a very good chapter that he had in there. Yeah.
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 It's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, who would have thought? Who would think?
Who would have thunk?
Who would have thunk? Oh, right. So that was my London trip. Anyway, I'm done. You say what you were going to say about that game then, if you want.
About that game?
Yeah, the game. The one that we saw at Expo.
Oh, right. Yeah. So one of the things I really loved about that game, right?
What's it called again? Just tell us.
Brett Wilder.
Right.
Which is about trying to be kind of like the leader of the different regions of ancient England.
You're not going to say that it's three-player minimum, are you?
Do you know what? I haven't even looked that up. No. The thing I loved about it was basically the whole aesthetic, right? And it was, you know, it was all little wooden pieces, wasn't it? And, you know, what have you. I'm hoping it's, I'm hoping it's an optional extra, but they put an update out and it was all plastic pieces on the board. But I was like,
and what were you thinking it was going to be wooden?
Well, I just thought to myself, it just didn't really sort of fit. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I looked at it and I thought, well, what the absolute beauty of the game was those wooden pieces, because it absolutely fit the theme perfectly.
Yeah.
And having kind of pink and blue pieces.
Yeah.
Just kind of lost it. So I'm hoping it's sort of a you know, there's an options or, you know, an option to do that. Because, yeah, I don't know. I just, maybe it was, I'm now just trying to get it up on the gram, I think is what the youngsters call it.
The gram.
The gram. I'm sure it was, right, I'm now looking up, again, adding to the podcast value by watching me browse. Yeah, so there's a picture, Planet Games, Kings and Eldermen, Tansung, it's just words I can't say here. A new sample batch of Brett Wilder's miniatures has arrived. No, don't have the plastic miniatures. The wood was beautiful, utterly beautiful pieces.
Yeah.
Please have the option, Phalanx Games. That made your game. This pink and bright pink and red pieces, plastic pieces on your board. That's fine if that's what. No. Sorry.
Did you say it was Phalanx Games?
Phalanx Games.
Yeah. No, I'm just doing it now as well. Give the view,
you'll
give
see
the listeners.
What I mean.
Phalanx Games.
All one word.
Yeah. Okay.
Because what was beautiful is when we looked at that and everything was the tones of everything that had been painted in, everything tied together so beautifully. And I just really hope you get an option to, you know, if plastic's your thing, be my guest, but I really hope there's an option to maintain those original pieces in there.
Oh, they did Mantine Arcing.
They do.
Yeah.
That's why I was little connections in my head, pal.
Right. Okay. I'm just looking at the images. Okay. So they've gone plastic. What did we see that was wooden then?
So the little pieces that we saw. So if you ever look at the Bold and Board page, I put a picture up on it, which is actually, like a knobhead. You can't see the, you could just see it at the bottom.
On the gram page?
Yeah. On the gram for
on
Bold
gram.
Squared.
Right, okay, hold on. I've got to swap from my gram to that gram. Oh, God, this is just, this
but
is
you can
riveting,
just
isn't
see
it?
Them. Don't worry, we haven't lost the listener yet.
Yeah, I can't, hold on, yeah, but how do you, you can't even.
Why don't you just look for Bold Squared?
No, I've got it. I'm looking at it.
Right, look at the bottom right.
Yeah, I'm looking at the bottom right. Yeah, I can see it.
Can you see the tops of those characters
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I can, yeah.
Yeah, do you think that they look perfect?
Yeah, they're much more like sort of Nine Men's Morris.
Yes.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old ivory things.
Yeah, but they were made of wood.
Yeah, they were.
And I'm sure they said they were going to make it like that. So I just hope that you get an option for both, you know, because I know some people will want to have the minis so they can paint them or just they like minis and that's cool. I really hope they keep an option to keep those pieces because they were just absolutely gorgeous.
They were. You're right.
That's it. That was all I was going to say about that.
Oh, that's all right. That was good.
That was like a little stab in my little old heart. That was when I saw those plastic pieces.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So
there we go.
What are should we do some new? Are we doing news? Are we doing?
I've got a couple of bits. I was just going to chat about things I played super quickly.
Go on then.
Because, as you know, I've not had a massively good run on being well recently.
Indeed.
Including quite a lot of time laying on the floor. So I started to play some Fighting Fantasy books. Did you play these when you were a kid? You know, like Warlock
Choose
and Fire
Your Own
Top
Adventures.
Mountain. Yeah.
I might have played a couple.
So I absolutely adored these. When I was a kid, and they were probably my route into thinking about playing role playing games, and so I played a couple. One was from Fighting Fantasy Games, which are now published by Scholastic Books, by Rhianna Pratchett, called Crystal Storms, and Rhianna Pratchett, daughter of Terry Pratchett, I believe.
Oh right.
So apologies if I got that right or wrong. You can tell I'll fire the researcher if it's wrong. Mom! But the thing about this book, right, I really enjoyed it. To look at it, right, it's got a picture of a character on a dog. It's like a dog with wings on the front, right?
A dog with wings, you say?
A dog with wings. It's called a candy door.
Right.
But it's got this really cute cover on it, right? And I bought it with a bit of trepidation, thinking, well, I don't know, what's the story going to be like? And the art inside, Scholastic are redoing all the art in this kind of computer-generated sort of grayscale, I think. It's all digital art that they've put in there.
Right.
Some bits are really cool. Other bits are a bit wonky. And they've redone the art in the original books, which I think has annoyed quite a lot of people. But I really enjoyed the story. It added a sort of a mechanic, which, I mean, I haven't played these games for a while, so, you know, it might be around for ages. You had to do things like find certain keywords, and it took you in different routes to different places.
Yep.
The adventure itself is quite a fantastical land where, you know, basically it's, I don't want to give too much away, but you've got like these different lands and sort of the land, in the sky, and then there's lands in the sea, and you're trying to solve this mystery that's happened. It's really quite dark in a couple of places. There's a particular death, which I think if you're reading this to children, is going to be, that's quite a hard decision whether you get to choose whether basically to murder someone or not, which kind of doesn't quite fit with the light tone elsewhere. But it's really good, and it reminded me how much fun these could be. And I also played Beowulf Beast Slayer. By Ace Game Books, from the writer Jonathan Green, who I believe wrote for one of the original Fighting Fantasy books. And this is a retelling of the Tales of Beowulf. Super dark all the way through, but there's that beautiful black and white. Well,
yeah, black, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
White's the paper, mate. like ink drawings and retells those stories. I mean, it's a mammoth book. There's kind of, was it, 500 entries into it. You've got runes in there. It gives you how to say the Anglo-Saxon names, and gives you some information about sort of, you know, just like sort of how they, you know, the whole story put together. Just really kind of cool. And it sort of maybe kind of cheered me up a bit that these kind of things live on, you know. Because I think they are a great little thing. You can just sit there with a book, and just kind of work your way through with a dice, or if, you know, if you get a die roll on your phone, and it's just good fun. So that was it. I did a couple of them, which was great. I enjoyed it. That was it, really.
Cool. But
apart from Bandido did a bit.
What, on your own?
No. So I have played it on my own, but you know, actually, real people played it as well. So I think I said before, my family actually played it. My wife played a game, which was incredible.
Wow.
So if you haven't seen Bandido, I think we mentioned it before.
Yeah, we did.
Helvetic. Yeah, great little game.
I mean,
I did see your picture, by the way.
Do you know what? I don't. Somebody else posted one today or yesterday saying that didn't last long. And they basically put out three cards.
Really?
Yeah.
I
know. How do you do that? I mean, we kept having to shove the cards around so they didn't fall off the end of the table.
Did they actually shuffle the cards, though?
Yeah, did they?
You know, maybe it's true. Maybe they can.
It probably is true. But, you know, why would they be lying?
Well, I don't know, to post something funny on the
internet.
Well,
it's real. It was on the gram. Shut up.
Oh, all right, then. All right, must be true.
Right, it must be true.
Must be true.
So what else? What else have I been playing? We've spoken about this one before, The Unforgiven. I had Phil, my buddy Phil, round. He came round one night. We did a two-player night. We played Unforgiven, which is the Lincoln assassination trial. It's a push and pull two-player game where one of you plays the defense and one of you plays the prosecution. And it's a card drafting game where you draw the cards and the cards give you either immediate benefits or benefits you can store for later. They allow you to convince the jurors over towards your side. And there's a dice drawing thing as well, which is really kind of smart. You can spend, it's not money, it's not called money, but you can spend these tokens to get dice, which give you one-off benefits. Then they go back in the bag and get drawn. It's It's a really tense game. It went back and forward, back and forward. And it came down to, well, I mean, we were in the third phase of the game and almost finished. I made a mistake. Phil pounced on it and won.
Destroyed you.
Yeah, but that was really good. So he was playing the prosecution and decided that he was going to hang Mary Surratt. So there you go. Then we played Watergate, which you've played, again, which is a push and pull game.
Love Watergate.
Really good.
The digital version of it, I think, is excellent as well.
Oh, is it? Never played
it. Yeah. If you can only play it online, the digital version is awesome. It's great.
But again, you know, for the listener, your buddy who says we never really describe what the games are about, again, it's a card game. One person plays the Nixon administration. One person plays the newspapers. And you are trying to connect conspirators to Nixon, and Nixon is trying to stop you from connecting those conspirators to him. It's done with card drafting, and you can play the card for its value to move counters around in your favor, or you can use the card for the descriptive value on it, which allows you to do something powerful. It basically goes back and forward. Again, we played that. I played Nixon, and it was really, really tight. Phil was one move away from winning, and I managed to just snatch it away from him. So that was, really good.
Excellent.
That was we played Royal Visit as well, which again is another two-player push and pull type game where you play cards and move things along this track. Not quite as good, I didn't think. It was one of those games that it just felt like it could have gone on and on and on and on until I realized that I'd misread the rules. And once you've worked your way twice through the deck, the game finishes.
Right.
So we were just, every time we ran out of cards, we just shuffled
you
the discard.
Again.
Yeah. So it could have gone on and on. So, I mean, it is quite tight. So you have to watch when you're in that second run through of the deck that you've got pieces in a position where when the deck does run out, they're sitting on this track in your favor. If you know that you're not actually going to be able to win outright.
Okay.
So it was good. It's a reimagining of another game, which I can't remember. It's just a different theme, different skin on it. But it was good, you know, and then we played the Lost Expedition as well and lost.
Yeah, that's a tough game. Me and Matt played the Judge Dredd, which, actually it's good. We had really good fun playing it, but it is a tough, tough game.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
It's always kind of, which is the least bad decision I can make here? You know?
Yes.
That's brilliant for it because it's one of those games that, will never outstay its welcome because it can't.
No, exactly. you run out of bullets. Yeah. Run out of health.
It. Yep.
Run out of food or whatever.
Great fun. Great fun.
Oh, did you hear that?
Have you just knocked everything over?
No, it was a coat hanger that was hanging up somewhere and suddenly decided it was just going to chuck itself out. Scary.
Scary.
So the last thing I'm going to talk about, I mean, I was going to go and talk about Kickstarter and stuff, but we don't want to shoot our wood on everything in the first week back, do we? But I have rediscovered my love for Pandemic. What is it?
Well, because
what are you laughing at?
No, I'm laughing because we restarted a couple of weeks ago playing Pandemic Legacy Season 2.
Right.
And we hadn't played it for nearly, God, must have been 3 years.
Right.
And we just picked up and we'd forgotten. We realised it works best with an odd number of players.
Odd.
We played it four and it never quite landed properly.
Oh, right.
We went back to playing with three. And it seems to flow a lot better. And I have no idea why. Maybe it's just us, the way we play it.
Right.
Super game. Really, really enjoying it. So much so that we're going to get around to finishing it and playing Season 0.
Which is one I'd like to play. But I'm guessing now you're going to tell me that I'm not invited because that would make me the fourth player.
Well, you've got the game, haven't you?
No, Season 0.
Oh, I thought you had it. I was going to say, well, then of course you're invited. No, you can bring your game and let us ruin it
for
you.
I thought you were just going to ask to look at it and then run away.
Yeah.
With it. No.
Big boy did it.
No, but this was just the base game. I say just the base game. Sorry. It was the original, the re-released original, right? Just the fucking ordinary game of Pandemic, right? No legacy items attached to it, but with On the Brink stuck into it as well.
Okay.
So obviously, you know what pandemic is. On the Brink introduces three new elements. So you've got the virulent strain, where rather than having the normal epidemic cards in the pack, you've got a different set of epidemic cards. And when you draw the first one and you've done the initial draw from the bottom of the deck, you know, and infect that city with three, before you do the reinfection, you look at the disease that's got the most cubes on the board, and that becomes the virulent strain. And on every one of those epidemic cards, it's got a different effect that that particular virus has each turn.
Okay.
So it becomes more dangerous. So that's one that you can, you know, you can put these in and out as you want. So there's a virulent strain.
Easy for you to say.
Then there's the mutation challenge, which is a fifth disease. So there are purple cubes as well.
Yep.
And those come out. There's a couple of cards that go into that that draw deck as well, along with the pandemic cards. And when it comes out, you draw a card from the bottom of the deck and you put one of these purple cubes into there. And then whenever that city that that purple cube is in, whenever that city is drawn, as well as putting the color cube of that city, you also put another purple one in there. There are less purple cubes as well. There's only 12 purple cubes. So it's much, much easier for them to go quickly. And then the third thing is this bioterrorist challenge, which everybody seems to hate. And it basically, you are a bioterrorist, so it's no longer cooperative. One player is trying to spread the virus and everyone else is trying to cure it. Are you there? Stuart, where have you gone?
And it was at this point that I realised that Stu had disappeared and I had been talking to myself for a couple of minutes.
Stuart, are you there? Are you back?
I am.
Where did you go?
I had to go and kick the mouse.
I thought I pissed you off. I thought you got bored with the pandemic.
How could anyone be bored of a pandemic right now?
Yeah. So that was it. I was finished anyway. I'd said what I was going to say.
It's a good game, pandemic.
So I've done that one, and then I've got to drop in the lab, which is another expansion that allows you to sort of sequence the disease and cure it a different way. And but like I say, I rediscovered my love for it. I think it is such an elegant game.
Yeah.
And just the bit of genius is when you draw one of those epidemic cards from the world map deck, and the first thing you have to do is you draw a card from the bottom of the pack and you infect that city with three cubes, and then it goes in the discard pile, and then you have to shuffle it so it could immediately come back up again, and you'd have to infect it with one more, which would lead to an outbreak. I think that's just genius.
Yeah, it's a very good mechanic.
Absolutely genius. Oh, and I played The Cure as well, you know, Pandemic The Cure, which is the dice version.
I saw a picture of that. I've never actually seen that played. What was it like?
I thought it was really good. I'm pretty unforgiving where dice are concerned, because the randomness of it all annoys me. But I think maybe because it was pandemic, I was a bit more forgiving, and I thought it was really good. I mean, we'll have to have a go at it. It's good. Really good.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Pandemic, pandemic, pandemic. That's what everybody wants to hear right now.
This is, a podcast of its time.
Yeah.
So you mentioned dice.
Yeah, I did.
So, you know that we are, we're at the blunt edge of podcasting.
Yeah.
And we like to expand and, expand into new fields and new features and express our creativity.
Is this an exciting new feature?
I've been thinking I've got a new feature we could try.
Fuck, let's do it.
Okay, it's called Name That Dice, right?
Oh, right. You better explain the rules, because I didn't really understand them when you told me.
The rules. So you would have noticed that I bought a large sort of box thing full
of
dice.
Let's call it a suitcase.
It was a little suitcase of dice the other day. And what occurred to me is, and I thought this when I was playing on Wednesday, and we were rolling dice on these lovely old kind of, you know, pub tables, you know, years and years of nicotine and beer soaked into them. So they're slightly soft, but they get a nice resonation through the, you know, the sound of the dice rolling across the top of it. Very evocative. And I thought to myself, wouldn't this be a great feature for a podcast? Right? So you have to, the game is, you yep. have to, I will roll a dice.
Okay.
And then you say if you're going to name it in one, two, or three attempts. Now you have to say.
No, when you say name it, do you mean I am naming the value that you rolled, or this the number of sides the dice has?
The number of sides the dice
the
has.
The die has. Sorry, let's not fuck. No, don't, mechanic mechanism dice die.
Let's not go there.
Let's get it right.
But if you can, if you then, you also get a chance to guess the number.
Okay.
Okay. And you get a prize for that.
Right. Okay. Well, I've actually, when you told me we were going to do this, I managed to dig a dice tower out.
Likewise.
And some dice. So we're good to go. You can go first if you want to roll it. And can I just say that I considered it the saddest thing of Tuesday night when you opened that big suitcase of dice and you said, and you said this is my favorite one.
It is my favorite one.
And you held up this dice and went, this is my favorite one.
Yeah.
Why was it your favorite one?
Because it's a two-sided, a three-sided, and a four-sided dice all in one.
That's right, yeah.
I just think it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Cool.
So I'm going to give you a little control roll, okay, all to right. begin with, just so we can judge the levels, okay?
Right,
so,
okay.
This will be that special dice, right?
Right.
Ready? So it's going to sound like this.
Heard that, yep.
Okay.
Right, so here's everybody heard roll. That.
Okay.
But that was just a test, yeah?
That was a test. That right, was a test. Okay. Here we go. This is the real one. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Well, you got to come up with a theme tune. Da 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 da.
Okay, so that sounded to me.
You can name it in one, two, or three guesses.
Oh, it's three.
Okay, then.
It's a D12. A D10? Are they always even numbers, by the way?
Are they always? I have got a D3, so.
Is it a D20? Okay, so how many sided dice is it?
That was a D6.
It was a D6?
It was a D6. All right,
and I think it rolled a 3.
You are absolutely wrong. It was a 5, but you were close.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So, my go then, yeah?
Come on in.
God, this is riveting, isn't it? Ready?
Yep, go on
okay,
in.
Okay, here we go. This is not control drop. I think you'll be able to hear it. I should think, because this is a noisy fucking. I never use it because it's so noisy. Ready?
Go.
Oh, no, it jumped out.
Hold on.
Right, on you go.
I'm going to name that in 2.
On you go.
It's a D20. It's a D4.
A D4? Yeah.
No,
it's a D6.
Was it a D6 as well?
It was a D6, yeah. Sounded okay, different in my thing, didn't it?
That rolled a 4.
No, it didn't. It rolled a 1.
Oh, shit it.
Yeah.
Well, I should have known that with you rolling a 1. Right.
Yep, exactly.
Here we go. So I'm going to have a rummage around. We'll only do 3 rounds of this, right?
Well, we'll only do 2 because I could only find 2 dice.
Okay, all right. All right, I'll add it. Here we go. Round number 2. I'll just have a little rummage around.
2 each. Yeah, 2 each. Yeah, this is podcast gold.
Here we go. Here we go. You ready?
Go. Ooh. D4.
Mm. What are you going to go for then?
How many I'm going to name it in 2. D4.
Go on then.
D4.
No.
D6.
No. Number?
What is it?
It's a D10.
10.
Wrong. Wah, wah, wah. Come on in.
Okay, ready?
Go on in.
Last one. Here we go. For me, anyway. Well, no, this is the last one, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, that sounded quite roly.
Ooh.
Ooh.
How many are you going to take?
I'm going to name it in 3.
No, go on then.
D20.
Nope.
D12.
No.
Ooh. Feels like that was close. D8.
No, it's a D6 because that was all I could find. Yeah. Sorry. I've got 2 D6s. That was all I could find. So fuck you. Okay, and guess what?
You rolled a one.
I did.
There we go. Okay, look.
That's a fantastic new feature.
What a feature that is, eh?
Wow.
Hey.
Yep.
Hey, tune in next week, folks.
I think that's what's going to make us millionaires, mate.
I think so.
So do you want to, what else do you want to talk about? Because we said we were going to keep this kind of short, didn't we?
Yeah, and we haven't. But I was going to do a real super quick bit before we head off, just about the Raise Your Game campaign for Dementia UK.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Do you want to say that to the end? Because then everybody will remember.
Okay.
If you save it to the end, and we'll just do this.
Okay.
Joby. Don't touch the Joby.
Right. It's my one this week.
Oh, dear.
You know what it is, though.
I do.
So I don't even know what category this fits into. And I'm
shithousery.
Shittery, yes. So I agreed to buy a game from somebody. And they said, yeah, okay. And I paid. And then 4 hours later, they messaged and said, oh, well, my wife has given it to somebody and she knew I was going to sell it, but didn't realize I'd listed it. And
that's such a shame.
Yeah. I'll refund you.
Oh, it's really good they got hold of you to let you know.
I know.
Oh, that's a really good seller, that is.
Yep. So they refunded me, although when I looked in PayPal, it said refund pending, but I guess that happens with some people. You don't use PayPal a lot. That was fine. I was happy with that. If it takes 5 days to get back in, it takes 5 days. But then, probably like you, I'm a member of a number of different Facebook board game forums. And I saw the same guy selling the same game for £5 more than he sold it to me for. And he had the same shtick. Opened, played once, wasn't really for me. Decided to move it on so that it's not just sitting on the shelf and blah, blah, fucking blah. So I just commented, and I will admit it was it's passive aggressive, the comment, because it was just, ... and then that perplexed face emoji. And he immediately blocked me completely. So I couldn't see the post anymore. So I thought, do you know what? This is a call to arms. Nobody does that to me. So I just put a little thing together on on the same site that he posted the game on. And of course, everybody went, well, here it is. I said, I can't see it anymore. But he definitely has it up for sale and blah, blah, blah. And you best watch out. And then of course, everybody started chiming in and going, oh, name and shame. And then somebody took a screenshot and went, here it is. But I think what annoys me is that we're all adults, aren't we? Yep. If he just said to me at the time, do you know what? I think I probably undercharged you for that. Would you be willing to pay £5 more? Because that was all it was. I would have then had an opportunity to say, nah, you're all right. I'll get it from somewhere else. And in fact, I did get it from somewhere else for £2 cheaper than I actually paid him for it, or initially. But that's not the point. It was the fact that he immediately blocked me. And then when I raised a case with PayPal to say, I haven't had the refund yet, because they sent me an email saying it's taken really long time to get this refund. And then when I phoned them up and managed to speak to somebody at PayPal, they said, it's been the refund's been cancelled. And that normally means that there's not enough money in the account to get the money back. But of course, as soon as I raised the case, he sent me an email saying, oh, I'm so sorry that this has happened. I've had an extra load of money come out of my account now, and he's raised the case against me. And I'm just thinking, you fucking dick.
What has he raised the case against you for?
Well, because it seems like he did give me the refund, and now I'm claiming for another refund. And I've looked in my bank, and there's definitely no refund in there. So the shittery of it. Anyway,
for the sake of £5.
For the sake of £5. You know, he could have just said, if you want to pay it, and I would have said no, and then we would have been all fine. But he went all nefarious and stupid fuckery. And it was when he blocked me that I just thought, that's not right.
Yeah.
And then it appeared that he had two names on Facebook as well. And then that seemed a bit suspicious and just weird. Weird.
Well, It's a lesson learned there.
There's a lesson learned there. Never deal with in the future. We'll bleep that out. It's fine. We'll bleep it out. Don't worry. Don't worry. All right. That's my hobby, Joby.
Okay.
Hobby.
Joby.
Hobby.
Joby.
Hobby.
Joby.
Hobby, Joby.
Don't touch the Joby.
That's very good.
Couldn't resist.
Very good.
Couldn't resist.
Yep. No. Very good.
So let's end it with the something important and good.
Yes.
Positive. Yeah.
So, Dementia UK are running an event, a scheme. I'm not quite sure what you call it. But basically, it's about raising funds for Dementia UK, and they're doing something called Raise Your Game. Okay. You can go onto their website, which is www.dementiauk.org. Okay. And you can get yourself a fundraising pack. The idea is in October, you run a gaming session. Now, they specifically talk about board games, and they talk about all across the nation, people are dusting off their favorite games in preparation for Raise Your Game. So playing a board game, or, you know, in our case, hopefully we might play board games and some role-playing games. And the idea is you get a group of you together, and you either all chip in a bit of money each and put towards a little contribution to them. Or you do some kind of sponsored event. So we're thinking of maybe doing 12 hours of horror and just doing 12 hours playing nonstop horror-based games. Being October seems to be quite apt around Halloween. And it's a...
Who's we?
Well, the we I'm hoping is the we is our usual group, including yourself. This isn't the group that I don't invite you to.
All right, okay. Yeah.
like you reminded me of a dice. One time, Steve, I didn't invite you. One time.
What are you talking about? You play board games 3 times a week and I only get invited to one.
Well, you can come to all of them.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. I don't want to come to any of them.
That's because I'm with my special friends.
Yeah, special.
Yeah, we have names.
Special friends.
But this looks like a really great, I would say anybody get your opportunity to get involved. It'd be nice to be able to, have a look around online and see if people are organising events. I mean, I know we're probably going to sort something out within our group because we were trying to find a location and I couldn't quite swing getting somewhere to run the event from. So we're probably going to run it from someone's house. But basically, what a good opportunity to play some games, get together with your mates, get something played, have a good time, chip in a bit of money each or do a sponsored game and put a bit of money for Dementia UK. And as we all know, dementia is something which I think a lot of us are going to be affected by in the future, if not so already. I know it's affecting, some members of my family. So it's something that I think is quite important, that we try and support. But, what a great opportunity to, get together. And what's interesting is I was having a look at suggestions from people who took part in Raise Your Game last year, that people were playing things like Apples to Apples, Articulate, Pass the Pandas, Rumble in the House, Dungeons and Dragons, Talisman, Pathfinder, Take It to Ride. So you've got clearly there are hobby gamers in there as well as your more sort of casual gamers. But, get onto their website, get yourself signed up and try and run something. I know we're going to try and run something. And it comes, you get a little cardboard cup, a champions cup, which is really cool.
Have you got it? Have you got the pack?
I've got the pack now. So I'll try and put some pictures up on the gram.
What date is it taking place?
It's any time in October.
Any time in October, right.
Yeah. Okay. You can play a date in October. So we need to get our date nailed down.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, being October and around Halloween, well, in the Halloween month, that's why I was thinking the 12 hours of horror-based games.
Yeah.
And we've all got, between us, we've got some horror-based games that we could play.
Yeah.
I've got some sort of quite cool ones we can do. And yeah, I just thought if we can get a few of us together and if we all agree to, if we get 6 of us, we all chip in a fiver, it's £30 for Dementia UK.
Yep. That sounds good.
All right. So look out for it, folks. Get on board if you can.
Yeah. That's good. I think that's a very good place to end. For the first time back, we can maybe call it a day there. We've only just gone over an hour, which is amazing.
That's not bad. And we've only got a load of shit cut out from the middle.
We have, yeah. After you disappeared for a while. Yeah, that's
don't
right.
Don't cut the dice game.
I'm not going to cut the dice game. I think that's going to be a keeper.
That's going to run, that is. So look out for us. You know, we're really good at the social media.
I'm really not good at all.
Well, we are Bold Squared on Instagram.
Yep.
We are Bold and Bored on Facebook.
Yep.
We are Bold and Bored on Twitter.
Yep.
Look out for us. Say hello. We don't bite. I can't because I've got shit teeth. I can't catch you either because I've got a knackered back.
Thank you.
But yeah, you know, it'd be nice to speak to some people. I know a couple of the guys from Portsmouth Guild of Role Players listen, which is nice.
Hello.
Which is kind of cool. But yeah, we're still here.
Yeah. Until next time, stay bold.
And be bored.